Coming up on today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, both the Eagles and Chiefs have punched their tickets to Super Bowl 57. I'll talk about what I learned from the Eagles and how the Raiders can follow that blueprint, plus a lot more coming up on today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, Monday, January 30th, 2023.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Team every day.
Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
And welcome in, Raider Nation, to another edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Thank you so much for making the show your first listen each and every day. Remember, you can find the Locked On Raider podcast free and available on all platforms. That includes YouTube. Thanks to my man Ari. He's doing a great job each and every day, making sure we're up on Twitter and up on YouTube at Ari Produces on Twitter is what I should say. So shout out to my man Ari. Appreciate you for making sure that that's under control. Today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast is brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. You pick 2 to 6 players if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection. You can win up to 25 times your money on your entry, and first time users can receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com. Promo code Locked On. Will tell you a lot more about them later on in the show. And man, got a lot to get to on today's show, and it's funny, I say that every day, and really we have a lot to get to on each and every show. And of course, the number and the date that everyone in Raider Nation is looking forward to is February 15th. That's obviously when the Raiders and Derek Carr have to come to some kind of resolution. Either they're going to find a trade partner and they're going to trust that trade partner is going to stick with them through March when the new league year actually opens up and they can make the trade official like a referee's whistle, or they're going to just flat out release them. But as you know, it's getting closer and closer to that February 15th date, and I do think we're going to hear something sooner rather than later. And matter of fact, Jonathan Jones from CBS had put out on a report that he had over the weekend, said the Jets began sniffing around, in air quotes, Carr earlier this week. The Raiders will have to cut Carr if they can't agree to a trade him before the $40.4 million in future salary guarantees in mid-February. The Raiders may have to be satisfied with the second or third round pick in return for Carr. And I'll tell you right now, if I'm GM Dave Ziegler, if I'm Champ Kelly, if I'm Josh McDaniels, and I get a second and a third or a third round pick back in return for Derek Carr, who everyone in the league knows is going to get released by that February 15th date, I would do a backflip right now. I'm not a gymnast, but I would do a backflip because, man, that is some good draft capital for a guy that you know is going to be on the way out and is not going to be the quarterback for the Silver and Black in 2023. And there's a few teams I've been looking at. I've been looking at the Colts as a possible location where they can end up with Derek Carr. Looking at the Carolina Panthers now that Frank Reich has been announced as the head coach there in Carolina. I do believe that he likes Derek Carr, thought he liked him and wanted him in Indianapolis. So there's an opportunity there. Going back to Indy, Rich Bisaccia has interviewed with the Colts now, I believe, a couple times. So if for some reason they were end up signing Rich Bisaccia on as their next head coach, I can see Derek Carr being a guy that he wants there, especially with Gus Bradley as a defensive coordinator. I can see them keeping that continuity on that side of the ball and bringing in a guy they're very familiar with in Derek Carr. But obviously, there's a couple weeks, really, of anticipation and a lot of speculation that'll go on between now and then. But the biggest storyline, obviously, to follow when it comes to the Raiders is when does the quarterback get moved on from, and do they find a trade partner, or is it a flat out release? So of course, that'll be something we continue to update each and every day as more news trickles out. Also on Friday, I mentioned before that the Raiders were going to have a bunch of reserve future signings, and that's something that every team does across the league and the Raiders are going to do a lot of. This one though, I was pretty intrigued by. This one came down on Friday that the Raiders signed defensive lineman Adam Butler to a reserve future contract. I know a lot of people say, oh, Adam Butler, what does that mean? Well, he joins the Raiders after spending the 2021 season with the Dolphins, but he originally entered the league as an undrafted free agent with the Patriots. Spent 4 seasons with the team, 2017 through 2020, 6'5", 300-pound defensive lineman. He's played in 80 career games with 13 starts, has 113 tackles, 63 solos, 17 sacks, 22 tackles for loss, 1 forced fumble, and 12 passes defense. I know this is a reserve future contract, and I always say it's nothing to get super excited about. That's just a guy that's going to be in camp with the team, and whatever he does is whatever he does. That's actually a sneaky good one, I think. A reserve future contract for a guy like that that has had as much production. 80 career games, 13 starts. The guy's had 113 tackles, 17 sacks, and 22 tackles for loss, 12 passes defense. That's not bad at all. That's nothing to shake a stick at. So I'm actually kind of intrigued by that. He's a native of Duncanville, Texas. He's a 4-year starter at Vanderbilt, played in 47 games with 34 starts. But the thing about him is, does he not fit what Dave Ziegler, the GM of the Raiders, is looking for? A guy with versatility, a guy that kind of flies under the radar, undrafted free agent, all of a sudden latches on with the team and is able to provide something. I could definitely see a guy like that being playing a role. Not saying playing a massive role, but playing a role with the team in 2023. Now, there's a long way to go. He's got to get through, you know, mini camps, got to get through training camp, got to get through the preseason and all that and still be looking good. Like I said, it's a long shot. But, man, the guy's actually got some production. And, you know, the funny thing about it is so many people, whenever I tweet out the press release that the Raiders send over to me, hey, here's a, you know, roster move. I do that so you can read it, so you can get updates on it. And 9 out of 10 responses is like, oh, great, another former Patriot with the Raiders. Like, I don't understand. I mean, I do understand because it's a guy who played with the Patriots at one point, but he also played in 2021 with the Dolphins. And if the guy can help your team win, who cares? I don't care where the dude played for. It's just so funny that that's always the first response. And again, this is coming from, you know, it's funny because the Patriots are that organization that had so much great success for so long, sustained success. So I'm not saying that every player that comes from the Patriots is going to be great. We know that that's not the case, but I mean, they kind of have an idea of what they're doing. And so if you want this thing to get turned around, which I want this thing to get turned around, I'm hoping that all these players they bring in could help. I don't care if they used to play for the Patriots, they used to play for the Cowboys, they used to play for the Niners. I don't give a rip, right? As long as they can help the Raiders win games, that's really all that matters to me at the end of the day. But, man, there's so much feedback that I receive on Twitter when I tweet out those press releases. Great, another former Patriot. Man, look, if this dude, Adam Butler, helps the Raiders win, great. If he doesn't, well, that's okay too. Then they'll move on from him. But, you know, again, sounds like a guy that has some production in the league, and I'm not mad at that at all. Wanted to point this out as well. Potential cap casualties for the Raiders in 2023. Of course, you know, as we're starting to pay attention to the draft, we also got to pay attention to free agency. Derek Carr, we know that he's going to be on the way out. So that's going to free up $29.3 million in cap space for the Raiders one way, one how. But two other ones that are pretty interesting to me. Andre James. If they move on from him, that'll free up $5.1 million in cap space. And I say that because I feel like Dylan Parham, the third-round pick out of Memphis, is probably a better center than he is anything else. And so it might be when the Raiders in the front office decide, you know what, it's time to move on from Andre James and transition into a guy who plays that role better. Andre James was the previous staff's guy. He was the guy that kind of flew under the radar that they found as an undrafted free agent and brought him along, and he did some good things. But, you know, I could see this new staff deciding to move on from him and freeing up more cap space right there. And then Bilal Nichols, he's interesting as one as well. The Raiders signed him, and Dave Ziegler signed him, matter of fact, to a two-year deal last offseason. He's only going to free up about $3.1 million in cap space and only has about $2 million base salary this upcoming year. But I could see him being a guy that they move on from as well if they find someone that can replace him better. Bilal Nichols didn't do a whole lot in 2022, but he did seem like a good depth piece. He looked like a guy that could provide a little something-something. So he might stick around, but with it being $3.1 million in cap savings if they move on from him, I could definitely see them doing that. So I just wanted to go ahead and pass that along as well. My final note I have for you, for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast, kind of news and notes of the day, doesn't have anything to do with the Raiders, except for that it kind of does. Candace Parker, she made a decision over the weekend to sign with the Aces, and that's a big deal. That is a big star. That is a two-time WNBA champion. She's won national championship when she was in college. She's just a hell of a player, right? And the reason I say that it's a big deal that she's signing with the Aces is because, and I say it all the time about the Raiders, they have to have stars. It's the reason why I don't think the A's would work here in Las Vegas, because they get rid of all their stars. In Las Vegas, you have to have something for people to go and want to see. You have to have some star power. And the Aces have star power with Asia Wilson, Kelsey Plum, they have Chelsea Gray. But now they have Candace Parker as well. And this is a winner. This is someone who's won on every level. And the last time I remember, she was winning with Chicago just a couple years ago. And she did a hell of a job there. So I'm excited about that. Mark Davis, the owner, has shown that now he'll go out and spend the money on a head coach like he did with Becky Hammon. He'll bring in whatever free agents they need. You know, he'll give them the money to bring in whoever they need. So I'm assuming, and I know this because he wants to win, no matter what anyone wants to say, he wants to win. Is he going to go about the right way of getting it done? Who knows? We won't know that until he actually does it. But I know in his heart he wants to win. So he's trying to put people in place to win games. And so I get excited when I see a signing like that, a Candace Parker or a Becky Hammon, because I know that if he's willing to go ahead and spend the bread to get the right players and the right coaches in place on the WNBA side of things, he's going to do the same thing with the Raiders. And that stadium, Allegiant Stadium, can't be sitting there with a bunch of no-name players on the team. It just can't. If you have a bunch of no-name players, they are not going to come to the game. Now, of course, the opposing fans will go to see their team, but Raider Nation and anyone rocking the silver and black will not be there if there's, you know, if there's just players, just another guy out there. You got to have some stars like a Davante Adams, like a Josh Jacobs, you know, like a Darren Waller, a Hunter Renfro, you know, whoever the quarterback's going to be. They've got to have some kind of appeal. It's just, it's that kind of city. You have to have something. It's almost like you have to have a gimmick, right? And I think that gimmick is the wrong word, but you got to have something. You got to have something that attracts the locals and folks from out of town to go to the games. And so that's one of the biggest deals. And when I see a move like that on the WNBA side of things, I realize that Mark Davis is going to continue to try to bring in that star power, regardless if that's going to be a Tom Brady, regardless if that's going to be Aaron Rodgers, if that's going to be some hot shot that they draft in the upcoming draft. And that's a guy that everyone gets excited about. Whatever the case may be, I feel pretty good that it's not going to be, you know, stripped down to the bare bones and just throw any product out there and say, oh, it's going to take 3 or 4 years to, to rebuild. I just don't see that happening. So that's what I got for you for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast, kind of news and notes of the day. Coming up in segment number two, the Eagles, they punched their ticket first to the Super Bowl February 12th in Arizona. They were the NFC champion game winners as they knocked off the 49ers, and it wasn't even close. A lot of that had to do with the fact that Brock Purdy went down immediately in the game, and they had to go to Josh Johnson, and then he went down, and then Brock Purdy got back in, and he couldn't throw the ball more than 10 yards. But I thought Philadelphia was the better team anyway going into that game. So I'll tell you what I learned about Philadelphia and how the Raiders could kind of follow that blueprint as they try to put together that winner, build that winner, build that roster. We'll talk about it coming up after I talk to you about the title sponsor, which is Prize Picks. And I'm sure you want to know how Prize Picks works. Well, it's really easy. You pick 2 to 6 players. If they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 25 times your money on any entry. There's no competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available. Prize Picks offers projections on any sport that you watch. That's NFL. That's NBA. That's NHL. That's MLB. Do you realize Major League Baseball is on its way back? Like, pitchers and catchers are going to report to Arizona or wherever they have spring training, like February 15th, the same date that Derek Carr has to have a decision by. That's when pitchers and catchers are going to report. So baseball's right around the corner. Of course, there's going to be college basketball, hoop action, women's college basketball, the WNBA. I mentioned them. They'll be back at it sooner rather than later. Any of these sports, Prize Picks has got your projections. The entry can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy, safe, and fast withdrawals. It's currently operational in over 30 states and in Canada. What do you have to do? Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. You deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. You deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50. Don't forget, use the promo code Locked On to sign up for instant deposit match up to $100.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we go. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Want to take a look at the Philadelphia Eagles. They punched their ticket to the Super Bowl before the Kansas City Chiefs did. So we'll talk about the Eagles and what they've done and how they've punched their ticket to the Super Bowl and how the Raiders can use that blueprint to go ahead and build up their roster. We'll talk about Kansas City on Tuesday's show. But I really respect what Nick Sirianni, the head coach of the Eagles, and more importantly, Howie Roseman, the GM of the Eagles. I really respect what they did this year, how they dedicated themselves starting before the draft, starting during the draft when they went and made the move for A.J. Brown. But they made some really good signings. They made some really good selections in the draft. They obviously got their quarterback of the future a couple years ago when they still had a quarterback. I mean, the way that they kind of put this thing together, I really do respect. Think about this. Nick Sirianni is a second-year head coach in the NFL, and he's going to the Super Bowl. His first year, I know they made it to the playoffs his first year, but they went 9-8, but at one point they were 2-5. So I say that because, well, Josh McDaniels didn't have a very good first year for the Silver and Black going 6-11. Doesn't mean he can't turn things around in year two. And I know there's a lot of folks that don't have belief in him, and I don't know if he's going to be great or not, but I do know that there is no options. I mean, there's no other coach, at least not this year. This year it's going to be Josh McDaniels, so I'm hoping he figures it out. I'm hoping he turns into Nick Sirianni and is able to turn things around, because why go through another head coaching search? That's the last thing that this team needs. So I'm hoping he finds a way to turn things around. But Sirianni, his first year, people were laughing at him at the press conferences. He was saying stuff about planting seeds and planting plants and putting water on them, watch them grow. People thought he was high as a kite. I mean, there are press conferences. You can go and Google Nick Sirianni and him planting seeds and planting a plant and watering it, and you'll laugh. You'll laugh your tail off because people literally were saying, this dude's out of there. He has no clue what he's doing. He's higher than a kite, right? And simple as that. And then, boom, a year later, they go 14-3 and are headed to the Super Bowl. But I love the fact that they established who their quarterback was. Remember, Jalen Hurts got drafted in 2020. And this is not a me pat myself on the back shoulder for saying Jalen Hurts was going to be a really good quarterback. But they went and got Jalen Hurts in the second round in 2020 when they had a quarterback in Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz had been a guy that just a couple seasons before that had just about, well, had led them to the playoffs. Nick Foles ended up sealing the deal and winning the Super Bowl with them. But, I mean, Carson Wentz is the one who guided them all the way through the season. They went and drafted Jalen Hurts anyway. Right, they either saw the writing on the wall that Carson Wentz was an injury-prone guy and he wasn't going to get it done, or they just figured, you know what, we're going to go ahead and get this guy and develop him. At the worst, he's going to end up being a really good backup. Well, lo and behold, a couple seasons later, he's headed to the Super Bowl, right? So they went out and they made that move. In free agency, they started with their own guys. They signed tackle Jordan Mulata to a contract extension. That was before this season. Remember where he came from? If you don't know, he was originally a seventh-round pick that they traded up to go get in the seventh round. So they solidified their left tackle of the future. They made sure that that was their guy. When he was a seventh round pick, they let him get into the game. They saw that he had a little something, something, and then they gave him a contract extension before this year started. So they have their left tackle of the future. Remember what the Raiders did in the last draft? They went and drafted an offensive lineman in the seventh round in Thayer Munford. And they also addressed the offensive line with Dylan Parham, the third round pick out of Memphis. I don't know if Parham's going to play center or if he's going to play guard moving forward. But Thayer Munford is a guy who I think is a sneaky good pick. You saw him get a little bit of burn his rookie year. I think he's going to have a much bigger role in 2023. I'm not saying he's going to be the starting left tackle or the starting right tackle, but I think that he's going to have a much bigger role. I don't know if they plan on keeping Colton Miller at the left tackle spot or moving him to the right tackle spot. I'm not too sure what they're going to do, but I do believe that they're going to address that offensive line. Free agency, they made some really good signings, and the best one that they signed was Haason Reddick. Signed him to a three-year deal, $45 million, and that's what the Raiders attempted to do with Chandler Jones, right? Attempted to make him a bookend edge rusher across from Max Crosby. It didn't work out the same, so, you know, are the Raiders going to go back to the drawing board and try to dip back into free agency and sign a guy? I believe they should. But I think that they need to sign a guy from the interior of that defensive line, like a Deron Payne or a guy that's similar to him. And I'm not saying that it has to be Payne, but they have to be able to find a way to get some pressure from the interior of that defensive line. The Eagles had four guys in double digits with double-digit sacks, and they had 70 sacks over the season. And I know I probably said on the show that, you know, that's like some kind of NFL record, and it's not quite an NFL record, but it might as well be. Right? I mean, it's just a couple sacks away. It's just a fantastic job. They made a trade with the Saints for C.J. Gardner-Johnson, a safety in the back end of that defense. He tied with the league lead in interceptions, and he missed five games. Think about that. He missed five games and still led the league in interceptions. So obviously that was a big-time playmaker that they made. So look, what they did, they went out and made a move for A.J. Brown, right? They traded during the draft time with the Tennessee Titans. Well, the Raiders went out and made a move for Devontae Adams. So they got their A.J. Brown. They have some weapons around their quarterback. Now they got to figure out who their quarterback of the future is, something that I feel like that they should have been addressing for a while now. For a few years, they should have been already addressing that situation and preparing for life after Carr. But now it's a new staff. So that's the other thing. But also, Howie Roseman has been putting together this roster for a while. You know, he's been the GM of the Eagles. And really, it's funny. Ever since Chip Kelly was running things in Philadelphia and he messed up a lot of things in Philadelphia and signed some crazy signings like DeMarco Murray, and they had to go clean up that mess after Chip Kelly was out of there. I mean, Howie Roseman's been doing a really good job. And so he kind of already identifies what an Eagle is, what he's looking for, so he can start to put that thing together. So, you know, Nick Sirianni, again, is going to get a ton of credit for getting them to the Super Bowl in year two as a coach. But what Howie Roseman's been able to do has been fantastic. I mean, he makes moves right before the trade deadline. They went and drafted Jordan Davis. Remember, they got him out of Georgia, 13 overall. So that solidified that defensive tackle move. A lot of Raider Nation wanted Ndamukong Suh to sign. Remember where he ended up signing? In season, signed with the Eagles. Right? I mean, they went, okay, there's a struggle with stopping the run. Okay, let's go address that. Linval Joseph, remember him? They signed him in season, signed Sue in season, drafted Jordan Davis. I mean, they did all kind of, every area that they needed to address, they did. Right? And then, again, built and put playmakers around their quarterback. So whoever the Raiders quarterback is going to be, obviously, is still the big mystery. But the weapons are there, so you can't say that. As long as they build up the offensive line, you know you have Max Crosby. You have Chandler Jones. I don't believe they're going to move on from him, but you can still get more guys. It doesn't. You don't have to stop just because, oh, you have Chandler Jones and Max Crosby. No, you can add more guys. You can go out and make a free agent signing like a Deron Payne and expect some big things from him from the interior. And then there could still be some low-key signings that work out really well for you. You know, you could address the back end. It can be done where you could turn this team in from where they are right now, where they won six games in 2022. You could turn them into a really good team. I'm not saying that they're going to be going to the Super Bowl in year two with Josh McDaniels. I think that Dave Ziegler is going to need a little bit of time to continue to build the roster, you know, but you could see turnaround, quick turnaround, if they have a really good draft, if they sign some strategic free agents, not just throw money around at anybody, but sign some strategic free agents and maybe make a couple trades, right? I know a lot of people have been talking about Jalen Ramsey, and Jalen Ramsey ain't the Jalen Ramsey he was when he moved on from Jacksonville to the Rams, but he's still really good. So if you had a Jalen Ramsey and a Nate Hobbs, I would be really comfortable with those two guys being my outside defensive backs. And then you slide someone into the slot, or maybe it's Amik Robertson. He has another year on his contract, you know, or maybe you draft a guy. But I would feel pretty comfortable with a Jalen Ramsey and other, right? And Nate Hobbs, I know, has the opportunity and the ability to play inside and outside. So you get some guys that are versatile, which is something that Dave Ziegler's looking for. And then you go from there. Trayvon Merrick's got a long way to go. He's got to really step up this upcoming year to prove that he could be that guy. You bring back Jerron Harmon, and you go and get someone else, someone who could be a ball hawk. Like I said, C.J. Gardner-Johnson led the league in interceptions, and he missed five games. The Raiders need a ball hawk at some point. They got to find a guy who consistently knows how to turn the ball over, how to create turnovers, get the ball back for the defense, or the offense. They have to find a guy that can do that. And obviously the biggest thing that they have to do, the biggest domino that has to drop, is they've got to find who their quarterback is going to be. Not just now, but the future. If they're going to bring in a veteran like a Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, they also need to find out who their young dude's going to be. At some point, they have to make a move for a young guy. If it's Brady or Rodgers, you know, Rodgers has a little bit longer shelf life than Brady does, but you're going to give up a lot of capital, and you're going to also, you know, have to give up a lot of money. If that's what makes you a winner right now, if you feel like that's a winner right now, fine, go ahead and roll the dice. But still, at some point, you've got to figure out who your long-term solution is going to be at quarterback, because neither one of those guys are going to be playing for the next 10 years, right? You've got to find a guy that you feel comfortable, like the Eagles feel comfortable with Jalen Hurts. And look, there was questions about Jalen. You know, I feel like Jalen Hurts and Derek Carr kind of went into the season with the same expectations, right? Derek Carr was going to have to light it up to prove that he earned that contract extension, and Jalen Hurts was going to have to light it up, or maybe he was going to be on the outside looking in. They were going to be looking for another quarterback. Jalen Hurts did a great job. He's not an elite quarterback, but he did a great job. Derek Carr did a good job, I thought, for the most part, you know, especially since it was a new system again, a new playbook again, new coaching staff again. Thought he did a decent job, decent to good job. It obviously wasn't good enough for what the staff wanted. So they've got to find a guy that they're comfortable with at that QB position moving forward. Again, if it's going to be short-term, great, fine, get your short-term guy. But you also at some point need to come up with your long-term guy. So the Dave Ziegler, Champ Kelly, Josh McDaniels, the Eagles have a blueprint out there. You just got to be smart with every step that you take, draft, free agency, trades, whatever the case may be. You've got to do that, and you've got to identify who your quarterback's going to be. We'll talk about the Chiefs and why they've sustained such good success over the years. Obviously, they have their quarterback, but they lost Tyreek Hill over the course of the year when he went to Miami and you know, as a trade. But they had some big contributions on Sunday in helping them get that victory over the Bengals, and they got it from a bunch of rookies. We'll talk about that, plus we'll talk about what gives them the sustaining power that they've had. We'll do that on Tuesday's show. So coming up in segment number three, your calls and texts right off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Before we get into that, though, I do want to tell you about our new partner that we're very excited about here on Locked On, and that is FanDuel. They're the number one sportsbook in America. If you're new to FanDuel, it's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. You can download the FanDuel app now so you can bet Super Bowl 57 with the no sweat first bet. You get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to a whole score touchdown. The FanDuel sports app is safe, secure, and super easy to use. Best of all, you can get paid your winnings instantly. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/LockedOn to claim your no-sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Your calls and texts, you're up that Locked On Raider podcast. Voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Went a little long in segment one and two, so we'll just get a couple calls and a couple texts here going on in segment number three. And the first one is from Chef Raider in the 860. Hasn't called in the middle, but he's called in a minute, but he's calling to talk about Josh McDaniels, guys, and what he thinks about that. Here he is, Chef Raider in the 860.
What's going on, Q? What's going on, Raider Nation? It's your boy, Chef Raider, 860. I haven't called in a while. But I have some thoughts on this whole Josh McDaniels needing his guys, you know, I have some thoughts about that. And this is what I don't necessarily understand. McDaniels and, Patrick Graham, you know, they're both very smart offensive and defensive minds respectively, right? You know, they consider themselves, you know, or not consider themselves, like we all are, people around the league consider them to be, you know, offensive and defensive geniuses and gurus and so on and so forth. Patrick Graham has mentioned in many a press conference about how he's a teacher, and so part of his job is teaching football. And I'm quite certain that Josh McDaniels probably has a very similar philosophy on what it is to be a good coach. It's not just being a leader of men, but being able to teach and relate the material to everyone to make everyone be able to absorb the message, right? So with all of that being said, why do you need your guys? Nick Sirianni looks like he's a quarter, 12 minutes away, give or take, away from going to the Super Bowl in year two with Jalen Hurts, who he didn't draft. It's not his guy. He came in and he took what Jalen Hurts did well and built around it. Why does Josh McDaniels, who's such a great offensive mind, and why does Patrick Graham, who's such a great defensive mind, need their quote unquote guys to be able to get it done? Why can't you teach your system to someone that's not your ideal player to have in this system, or make that system fit said guy? That's my question. All right. Peace out.
Thank you so much for the call, my man. I do appreciate you. It's great to hear from you again. And I'll say this. It's funny when I hear people complain, and I'm not talking about you. I'm just talking about in general. When I hear people complain about, oh, why does he need his guys? Why does he need his guys? That happens every team across America. Every single team, just about every company. When someone else comes in, when a new CEO comes in or a new boss comes in, you know that usually the first thing that they want is their guys in there, people that they feel comfortable with. Not saying that they're better players, not saying that those are the only guys that can win games. You know, and obviously we see other situations like Brian Daboll with the Giants and what he was able to do. You know, just kind of went in there and took the ingredients that were there and made something, whipped something up, and it looked pretty good. So I know that there's, you know, situations where that happens, but you watch what Brian Daboll does. He's going to start turning over the roster because that's what every single coach does. They all want their own guys in there. And again, just about every job across America, when a new boss comes in, what does everybody wonder? I wonder if they're going to want me. I wonder if I'm going to stick around. I wonder, you know, who they're going to bring in. Are they going to like, you know, what's this guy like? It's natural. That's what happens. I remember talking to Kirk Morrison last year here in Las Vegas at the Pro Bowl practices, and he was talking about the Raiders roster, and you know, this is when Josh McDaniels and company had taken over, and he said, look, there'll be a lot of players that are gone that are currently on the roster that people are going to say, well, why? And the reason is because every coaching staff, every GM wants their own guys. They all want guys that they're comfortable with. And look, the Raiders brought in a lot of guys that they were comfortable with this past season, right? Like a Daron Harmon, like a Brandon Bolden, like a Jakob Johnson. You know, guys like that, guys that they were familiar with, they brought in because that's Jarrett Stidham. You know, they brought in a lot of their guys. They're going to continue to bring in their guys because they're the ones that are, you know, in charge right now. So that's just what they do. So it's funny when I see, you know, fans talking about that, and I'm thinking that's nothing – It's nothing exclusive to the Silver and Black. And as I mentioned in segment number one, number two, whatever, I think it was number one. I don't even remember at this point. I don't care where they come from. As long as the players can help the team win, I'm all good for it. That was segment number one, as a matter of fact. So, yeah, I'm good with that. And the only difference between Howie Roseman and Dave Ziegler, and we spent a lot of time talking about Howie Roseman there in segment number two, he's been with the Eagles for a while. This is Dave Ziegler's first go-around with the Raiders. This is his first full offseason. You know, when they hired Dave Ziegler last year, it was in January. So it's not like he had his scouts out and about looking for his type players. They were out there scouting for Gruden-type players or Bisaccia-type players or Greg Olsen-type players, Gus Bradley-type players, not Josh McDaniels, Pat Graham. So they were just working with the scouts that they had. And I think that they did a pretty decent job in the draft with Dylan Parham and Thayer Munford. I think those two guys are going to be good. The defensive tackles, I think that they got to still prove something. And then the running backs, you know, with Zamir White, I think he could be a really good player. We would have probably saw more from him. But Josh Jacobs said, nah, not going to happen. I'm not coming off the field. And he didn't. He turned around and led the league in rushing. So thank you so much for that call. I do appreciate it. You got a text from Luke in the 503. He says, Q, it's Luke in the 503. I got a question for you. If one of the big three quarterbacks, Young, Stroud, or Levis, fall to the Raiders at 7, and a team like Carolina will offer us their first round, number 9, and their second round pick for the 7th pick, do you think it's smarter to take that deal or pick the quarterback? I think we have so many holes that we need the picks. I also finally think we need to use a top 3 round pick on a linebacker. I want to hear your take on this scenario. As always, just win, baby, and go Raiders. That's from Luke in the 503. And it depends. My natural reaction to reading that is, yeah, absolutely. If Carolina wants the 7 overall pick and they're going to give you number 9 and a second round pick, sure. No doubt. Take it. 100 times. You know, every day of the week and twice on Sunday. But if the Raiders believe that one of those three is their quarterback and that guy is there, then they have to take him. If they believe, if Dave Ziegler says, you know what, Will Levis is our guy, because that's the guy that I think would be available at 7. I'll just put it out there like that. I think at 7, Will Levis might be available. So if he believes that he's his guy and Carolina wants to trade up, I think you still have to get your guy. At some point, as I mentioned, they've got to get their quarterback of the future, right? And you cannot just ignore it and think, well, find another guy. We got Brady for a year. We got Brady for 2 years. Or we got Rodgers for a couple years. At some point, you got to go get your guy. Now, if you look at all three of those quarterbacks and you're not 100% sold on them or you have a bunch of question marks, sure, trade down. I'd have no problem. And as far as the linebacker position goes, you're spot on. I've been calling for the Raiders to draft a linebacker high for a very long time, right? I wanted Devin White. When I wanted Devin White, they went and got Cleve Farrell. They got Cleve Farrell at number 4. Tampa Bay took Devin White at number 5. I know Devin White has flaws, but Devin White is a whole hell of a lot better than what the Raiders have. I like Denzel Perryman. Remember, Denzel Perryman wasn't a Raider until they needed a body. Remember when all the guys went down and they made the trade before the 2021 season to get Denzel Perryman? They traded with Carolina to bring him in. So it's not like that was a guy that was already on the roster. Devin White would have been a hell of a player, and he can go sideline to sideline. They need a Roquan Smith. You know, I was pounding the table for Roquan Smith, even though I didn't think there was a chance that he was going to make it to the Raiders when he was selected by the Bears. They need a dude, a real deal linebacker, and they've ignored it for far too long, just like they've ignored the defense, in my opinion, for far too long. So thank you so much for that text. I do appreciate you. And that number 7 is going to be interesting when the draft comes up in April, right? By then, we're already going to know if the Raiders have picked up a veteran, if they have Tom Brady, if they have Aaron Rodgers or other. You're already going to know. So it's really going to be interesting to see what they do at number 7 by then. So thank you, Luke, for that text. I appreciate you. We'll close things out with Barry from Baltimore. He's calling to talk about Friday's show, about rookie quarterback versus veteran quarterback, and he shares his thoughts. Here he is, Barry from Baltimore.
Hey, Q, what's up, man? This is Barry from Baltimore. Just wanted to call in regards to the pod on Friday. As always, thanks. I appreciate what you do and what you bring for the content every day. But my thoughts on, in general, with the QB situation, you know, I guess rookie, veteran, or how you do it. In a perfect world, I would actually prefer to draft a rookie quarterback. Obviously, if they can get their guy, we don't know who that guy is or if he'll be there or whatever that is. They'll have to do their homework on that and figure that out. But that's how I would, just because I want instant success. I want them to go to the playoffs. I want them to win, but I also want them to win not just one and done kind of win. I want it as a long period win. As much as I hate the Chiefs, but, you know, something like that, you know, or just teams that are always in contention. Now, if you sign a veteran quarterback like a Brady or whoever, I still would love to get a
quarterback early. I don't think that would be the case if they go that route because of obviously other needs, but I still would do it. I mean, if you're confident enough that, you know, if you sign a veteran, you're not going to be up there pick seven next year or higher. You know, you never know. They could. Anything could happen. But I don't know. It's just my thoughts on that. And I'm starting to get a little pumped up for the draft regardless of what they do. I just hope they make the right decisions in every round. I mean, I know that's easier said than done. And, you know, a lot of teams have hit and miss. But for once, I would love to be able to watch the draft. And when the Raiders pick somebody in the first couple rounds, you don't hear the analysts go, oh, who's that? Oh, we had him this low on our board. And I get it. These analysts don't always get it right. But every year it seems like, you know, I'm fighting in a, you know, as a fan, Raiders fan, and whoever they take, I'm trying to get on board with it. But then you've got to hear the, you know, the people in the draft saying, oh, bad pick, you know, or we had him lower on our board. I would love for them just to take it, take who they take, be right there, you know, with what everybody's saying, and, you know, it turns out, you know, because that's what they need. And really, it's just, you know, them missing those draft picks these last several years is what's hurting the team's depth and, you know, why the defense, what it is and why they are what they are, what their record is. So I'm just hoping they can nail this draft and then make some improvements. But anyways, man, that's just my two cents calling in. But, yeah, that's it, man. All right. I'm out. Go Raiders.
Thank you so much for the call, my man. It's good to hear from you. I appreciate you. And the thing is, as I've been mentioning, at some point you got to take a chance on a young dude, right? You just got to get the right one, in my opinion. If you get the wrong one at, say, number seven, then all of a sudden you're setting yourselves back some more, right? You're not picking a guy at number seven to be a backup quarterback. Now, if you get a guy in round two or three or four and he misses and he's not a franchise quarterback, but you think, you know what, he could be a good backup, fine. That's cool. But you can't afford to use a number seven overall pick on a quarterback and him end up not being the guy. And really, if you pick a quarterback at number seven, it's really a hard stretch to not play him immediately. Guys don't get given that opportunity to not play immediately when they're drafted so high. Sometimes guys wait a couple days, a couple games, you know, a couple weeks, whatever the case is. But at some point, usually their rookie year, they're in that. They're in the game. So if the Raiders go out and get a veteran like a Brady, obviously they're not going to bench him halfway through the season. They're not going to say, well, you know, when the rookie's ready, then we'll go ahead and move on from Brady. They wouldn't do that. Rodgers, same thing. So that's what makes that number seven overall, in my opinion, so interesting. Are they going to be willing to go and make a move for a quarterback at that position? Again, by that time, late April, we'll know who the quarterback is for the Silver and Black, most likely in 2023 if they go the route I think they're going to go, which is bringing in a veteran that's already proven. So I'm just hoping, and I probably shouldn't say this, but I will. I'm just hoping it's not Jimmy G. I really don't. I just don't think that that's a good move. He's guaranteed to be injured at some point in the season. And really, I know he has a good winning record, win-loss record, but I think that's more of the team around him as opposed to just him, right? I really feel like that's a lateral movement at best from Derek Carr to Jimmy G, and he's a guy that you know is going to get injured at some point, where at least DC was nails. He was a guy that was always going to be out there and available. So that's all I got for you on today's show. We got a text from Michael in Buffalo. We got a call from Tadrish in New Jersey. Jolly Roger J has got a text in. We'll get those. We'll also on tomorrow's show, we'll talk about Kansas City and what they've been doing over the course of many years to have the sustainability that they have as dominators in the AFC West, and Patrick Mahomes going back to another Super Bowl. And of course, we'll have more news and notes of the day as well. Shrine Bowl practices continue here in Las Vegas. The game is on Thursday. Media day is on Wednesday. I'm hoping to catch up with some players between now and then as well. So hopefully we'll have some of that to bring to the show before it's all said and done. So thank you so much for making the show your first listen each and every day. Remember, you can find the show free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Thanks to my man Ari, doing a great job on Twitter at Ari Produces. So until tomorrow, Raider Nation, take care of yourself, take care of your family, love on your family. Most importantly, as always, just win, baby.